I'm very excited to be up here this morning. I have been really enjoying the series that Stuart's been going through, talking about how we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I know everybody's really, really interested in seeing how the soul part plays out. I'm sorry, but I'm not doing that this morning. So you'll have to come back next week. A little bit of a bait and switch going on this morning. I'll be covering the second of the two greatest commandments that we see in this passage. Because as you can tell, Stuart's not here. He's in Tennessee visiting his children. And just so you know, you are not excused from Sunday night services this week because Stuart's not here. Bob's going to be here doing it. It's still going to be great. So you're still here. We'll still be looking for you. Attendance will be caught, and we will find you if you're not here. So don't forget that. And another announcement that I forgot. Communion this morning. Please, again, be careful opening it. It's a little more of a delicate procedure than we're used to. I don't want to see anybody spill it on themselves because I don't want to have to avoid laughing at you if you spill it on yourself. So please be careful. Open it, do it in the right order. It's going to be interesting this morning because keeping in line with how Stuart structured this series, as you can tell, Stuart and I preach differently. His is much more, you know, free-flowing and open. He doesn't use anything resembling the notes that I have to use. And it irritates the snot out of me that he does it that easily, but what are you going to do? I had to structure the sermon a little bit differently to kind of make it work. So I'm getting out of my comfort zone a little bit this morning, but that's good for you, so they tell me. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 22 this morning, the same passage he's been working through. But I'll be going to the very back part, really in verse 39. The second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when we read this passage, we focus a lot, and rightfully so, on the 37, you know, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, all that stuff. And then there's one of two ways that we look at verse 39. We either look at it as a little bonus nugget of information or wisdom that's tacked onto the end of it. Yes, nugget. You're all laughing at me. It's fine. Or we kind of tack that onto the end of it. Or we view this as sort of the works portion that goes with the faith and love part at the top. Does that make sense? We usually do it one of those two ways. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong if that's how you look at it. But I think you're missing some of the scope of the verse. I think you're missing the full picture. Verse 39 is not just a throwaway verse. It's not just kind of tacked on the end as an addendum or some sort of thing like that. I think it has a really deep meaning, especially if you look at it in the context of some of Jesus' other words. So the understanding, I'm going to move up just a little bit because that floor is squeaking and it makes me feel like I'm going to step right through it. And I don't want that to happen. And you don't either. Maybe you do. Hazel probably does. The understanding that we're going to work with this morning is that you cannot truly love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength without loving your neighbor. Amen. That is the basic premise we're going to work with this morning. And the flip side to that is the way it's worded, the way it's structured here. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself without first loving yourself. So to love God, you have to love others. To love others, you have to love yourself. If you close the circle, you can't love God without loving yourself. And if that doesn't add up to you, let's look at it this way. If somebody comes to you, those of you that are parents out there, and they say, you know what, I really want to be friends with you. I want us to have a relationship and be close. But I don't really care about your kid. Like, I don't want to talk to your kid. I don't really want them to be around. Can you just send them somewhere? Like, I don't love your kid. I just love you. How are you gonna feel about that? Probably not gonna work out, right? I know if somebody walked up to me and they wanted to have a relationship with me, but they didn't want to show any sort of goodwill or anything towards Carter, which is impossible because he's the sweetest kid on the planet. We'd have a major problem. My wife especially would be ready to go to war. So you can't have a relationship with someone if you don't love and have a relationship with their children. It just doesn't work. Because parents love their children more than they love you. Or in God's case, they love their children as much as they love you because you are their child. Most of you see where I'm going with this. All of us, all people, are God's children. Yes? We can't really show love to the Father, our Father, without showing love to his other children first. God sees value in his children. We see that throughout the Bible. We see that, you know, that it includes you. I know there are some people here that don't have struggle at all with loving themselves, unless it's with loving themselves a little bit too much. It's funny how much of the second row here looks all at one person. That's really interesting. And if you're thinking, no, that's not me, it might be. You might want to look in the mirror a little bit. But some people legitimately, they struggle. They don't see value in themselves. Because what do? We focus on, oh, well, I've done this thing bad. I've done this thing. I've messed up all this stuff. But God sees value in us. If you look in Psalm 139, this isn't going to be on the screen. It says what? God knit us together in the womb. And that his works are wonderful. And we are God's works. Therefore, we are wonderful. We have to see the value in ourselves and then show others the value and love that God gives them. That, in essence, is what this verse is telling us. And you're thinking, oh, man, Jamie usually gets us out of here early. He's done really, really quickly this morning. That's not it. We're going to bounce to a different part of Scripture. Sorry. But you will get out a little earlier this morning than usual. Clee has already found me and asked, as he always does. Early release today? Yes. Whatever. So we're going to go spend a lot of our time this morning in a different passage that all of us know that's going to kind of show us this. And we're going to go over to the parable of the lost son. And this isn't going to be on the screen either because it's really, really long. And I'm not going to read it word for word because nobody signed up this morning to go story time with Jamie. But it's in Luke 15 if you want to write that down so you can revisit it later. This is, like I said, it's a long one, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. It starts in verse 11 and goes to the end of the chapter, but I will paraphrase it for you. Most of you know it, but maybe some of you don't. And if you do know it, maybe you haven't heard it in a while, so it's fine. This man has two sons. The younger one says, it's always the young one that causes trouble in this situation. And I say this as the older brother of two, so I get this. The younger one says, you know what, Dad, I want my money, my inheritance right now so I can go enjoy it. He's like, because if I don't get it till I'm older, and then I have kids and stuff, and they're going to take up a lot of it. So he's like, I want it now. So the father says, okay. So he divides up everything he owns, and he gives the son, the younger son, his share. And he goes out to a distant land and uses it on what my translation calls wild living. It doesn't go into detail beyond that, but he squanders all of it. He ends up eventually, because of a famine and everything, working for a guy feeding his pigs. And he's jealous, essentially, of the stuff that the pigs are eating. Which is, I've seen what pigs eat. That's a pretty sorry state to find yourself in. He eventually comes to his senses and he realizes, you know what? I made a mistake. I made a lot of mistakes. My dad has servants at his house that eat better than this and that live better than this. I'm going to go back and I'm going to see if my dad will take me on as just a servant. I know I've already messed up my chance to be a son, but maybe I could just be a servant and I don't have to live in this filth anymore. So he goes back, and it says while he's really far off that his dad sees him coming, and his dad runs out to him. And this is the part of the story everybody loves. His dad's like, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, and they have this big old feast. Because the son is back and he wants to honor that. And the older son is angry and he doesn't take part. He's mad because he had been there with his father faithfully the entire time and he never got the party. The father tries to reassure him, you know, son, look, you've been here the entire time. I understand that everything that I have right now is yours one day. But we still have to celebrate the son that was lost and is found. And that's a wonderful story. That's one of my favorite parables that Jesus tells, especially with how it connects to this commandment here in Matthew 22. Most people, when they read this story, who do they identify with? The younger son, right? The one that went astray and they got lost and did all this bad stuff and then tries to find his way back. That's how we see it, because, you know, we stray from God over the course of our life at some point or another, some to a more deep extent than others. And then we come back and we emphasize, you know, the love that the father has for his lost son that he never gave up on him. Now, that is amazing. And I think that's, for the most part, the main point of the story, But I don't think that's the only point. And I don't think that's the only thing that we can draw from this. We need to love God's children like the Father loves his sons in this story. But a lot of times, what we do is we love God's children like the older brother loves his son, loves his brother in the story. So what we do is we look upon, sometimes we look upon other people with bitterness and we don't take part in their victories. Maybe we feel entitled because, oh, well, I've been a Christian for X amount of years. It's been so much longer than this person. Now everybody's celebrating this person. But if they really knew what they did, they wouldn't be celebrating this person. Or maybe we think, oh, well, I'm a Christian. I've got Jesus. And all these people out here, they're sinners. They don't have Jesus. I'm better than them. We don't like to think that that's how we look at people, but sometimes it is, isn't it? But that's not how it's supposed to be. We all typically identify with the younger brother and the mistakes he's made and the journey that we took to get back. But a lot of times, I think if we take a little bit of self-examination, we really resonate, our attitude is more with the older brother, isn't it? Now, could we keep in mind that once we were in their shoes and we needed somebody to show us love, maybe somebody in here was, you know, they decided, you know what, I'm gonna go sow my wild oats, as they used to say. And they go off and they make all these mistakes, and maybe you've one day found yourself in a really low spot in your life. And you needed somebody to show you some love. That's what we're supposed to do. We have to show love to everyone. Doesn't matter how far away they went. Doesn't matter how wild their living was and how far off the land they went to go. We have to love God's people like he loves them, like the Father loves his children. And in this time of year, the lovely election season, we had decorations up. Someone had decorations up on the edges of the church property. Khalil was so kind to take those down for us this morning. Let me remind you that the love that you're supposed to show people extends to people in the opposite political party than you. People that are voting for somebody else. People that maybe they just trashed the candidate that you believe in or whatever. It extends to those people. Because they're just as much God's children as you are. That means Democrats. That means Republicans. That means independents. They're all God's children and he loves them all. Which means that we have to love them all. Does everybody understand that? I know that's difficult. You know, and the media and everything does not help. This seems like every day somebody is trying to divide this country, this world, farther and farther apart. But we're called to bring unity. We're called to bring love. And let's be honest. It's not like we don't make it hard for other people to love us sometimes. And again, some of you in here are like, no, not really. I'm really easy to love all the time. That's not true. So we all go through a time in our life where we're the younger son. Maybe right now you are the younger son. You're kind of off in left field, you know, doing whatever you want. But the problem is, unfortunately, that everybody, I think, once they get through that path of, I'm the younger son, I did this bad thing, and now I've come back, we transition at some point to being the older son, don't we? Does that make sense? How we, like, oh, we've done this thing. We've got through this difficult part in our lives. But now we view the world as in this sort of a jaded sense where, oh, what, I'm past this. I don't even remember that part. We are called to treat others like the Father treats the Son the entire time. Now, what does that mean? How did the Father treat the younger son while he was gone doing whatever he was doing? That means you treat people with kindness when they make it difficult. That's what we see Jesus do time and time again with people, whether it's the people he meets or even his own disciples. I mean, you see people that Jesus met. What type of people did he come in contact with? Prostitutes, women who were caught in adultery. And we just talked about a couple weeks ago the woman at the Pharisee's house that came to him. His own disciples, not necessarily easy to love sometimes. I mean, Peter cut people's ears off. Peter denying him 3 times. You know, Thomas doubting him, even though I think Thomas gets a bad rap for that because, you know, he went on to do really cool stuff. I mean, some of Jesus' closest friends did not make it easy on them for Jesus to love them, but he did anyways. It means we should look for and seek out those that don't know the value and love that God has for him. And that's always been the most beautiful part of the story. When the son comes back, what's the father doing? You know, he's not just sitting in the rocking chair, just kind of chilling, talking to his older son or going about his business. No, he says he was looking, actively looking for his son. And when he sees him coming from afar off, he literally runs out to meet him. So we're called, if we're going to be like the Father, we have to go seek out God's children and show them love. That means that we should support those of us who are faithful. We have to stick together and not tear down each other when we make mistakes. So that means that when somebody does come back into the fold, somebody does come and they're part of the church, you support those people. It doesn't matter if they look different than you. It doesn't matter if they act different than you. It doesn't matter if they believe slightly differently than you do on some stuff. Now, you see this all the time. You know, the sort of famous illustration is about churches like splitting over the color of the carpet and stuff like that, or splitting over music, or people leave because, you know, they didn't like the way that this person dressed, or they didn't like the way this person talked, or so on and so forth. That's not what God's people are supposed to do to each other, is it? We're supposed to support one another. I think this thing would have gone a little bit differently if the older son had kind of supported the younger son, but he didn't. It means that you have to be secure in the value that the Father has placed on you. I think this is the difficult one for a lot of people. I think there are a lot of Christians that wake up every morning not really entirely sure if God still loves them or if they're still going to go to heaven and be with him one day. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and say, "See, is that you?" But I think a lot of people have that problem. Everything the younger brother was getting upon the father's return, from the father upon his return, the older brother already had. So we may think, "Oh, well, you know, I don't know. Does God still love me? Does he still value me?" You may be looking at God like the older son did, like, "Well, he's just God showing all this love to all these other people, but I've been here the entire time." No. He still loves you, and everything he has is yours. But we still celebrate the people that come back. The older son was always at the father's side, and the father never lost sight of that because he's looking for his lost son. Now, that doesn't mean that God loses sight of you just because you've been faithful, okay? And I see this a lot in guys that I went to Bible college with. There's like certain people that I went with that are like, it's not like famous, but it's like this weird like sub-level of fame. Like they'll have like different professors from the college or the former president of the college are sharing like posts that they make on Facebook. And I was talking to a guy the other day that was like upset. He's like, "Man, I've been doing ministry for, you know, 8 years or whatever, 7 years since I graduated. And I do all this stuff and I've got this big church and I don't get any recognition." I'm like, that's okay. You know, we don't have to celebrate that stuff to really do that. That's not what it's about. Now, I want to be very clear. I don't want you to think that the older brother is the villain in this story. I think that would be kind of stretching and misconstruing what I'm saying. We typically make him out, "Oh, well, he's, you know, the younger brother comes back, he should be happy. You know, why is he being a turd right now? Like, why is he doing this? Why is he acting like this?" No, yep, James just said turd on stage. There we go. It doesn't mean he was a bad guy. It doesn't mean he didn't love his brother. It doesn't mean he didn't love his father. It just means that he was more focused on himself than he was on the one that was lost. So I want to challenge you guys this morning. Look, be secure in the value and the love that God has for you. Show that love to other people because he showed it to you first. That's what it's all about. That's what it means to love people like the Father loves them. Love the Father, and that means loving his children. That's every bit a part of loving God as loving the Father himself. You cannot love your Father without loving his other children. There will 100% of the time be an issue if that's the case. And it's like Jesus says in the book of John. What does he say? "If you love me, what? Feed my sheep." That's what it's all about. So again, I just want to reiterate, challenge you guys this morning. It's difficult, I know, to love people. Some people make it really, really hard. But love people like the Father loves the younger son, like the father of both his sons and the prodigal son this morning. Don't be bitter because, you know, you've been here the whole time. You've been faithful. That's not what it's about. That's not how we're supposed to be. It's difficult, but that is what we are called. That's what we are commanded to do this morning and every day. So part of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength means loving your neighbor. It means loving you. And you do both those two things, you also love the Father. At this time, the praise band is going to come up, lead us in time of communion.